Hello, this is Susan, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Buffalo Rising on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The first article, written by Jake Levin, Bills Dominate Pittsburgh. Allen sets NFL rushing record. Josh Allen broke an NFL record as the Bills defeated the Steelers 26-7 in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Neither team scored in the first quarter. Early in the second quarter, Nicholas Herbig stripped the ball from James Cook at the Bills' 42-yard line. Patrick Quinn recovered it at the Bills' 39-yard line, and the Steelers capitalized with a touchdown on the ensuing drive. The Bills appeared ready to answer, but a false start on 4th-and-3 at the Steelers' 4 forced them to settle for a field goal. And on the first play of the second half, Nick Bosa sacked Aaron Rodgers, forcing a fumble that Christian Benford scooped and returned for a touchdown, giving Buffalo a 10-7 lead. The strip was Bosa's 5th forced fumble of the season, tying a Bills franchise record. And on the next Steelers possession, Benford struck again in his 50th career game. Mason Rudolph, replacing the injured Rodgers, overthrew tight end Darnell Washington, and Benford intercepted it, stepping out of bounds immediately. Buffalo then mounted a long drive highlighted by James Cook's first major burst of the day, a 31-yard run to the Steelers' 7 that pushed him past 100 rushing yards. Cook became just the 5th Bills running back to record 7 100-yard games in a season, and after a series of short runs, Josh Allen hit Keon Coleman wide open in the back of the end zone on 4th-and-goal, extending the lead to 16-7 with 8 minutes and 49 seconds left in the third. Matt Prater missed the extra point. Buffalo followed with an 8-minute, 14-second march downfield. Allen capped it with an 8-yard rushing score, his 76th career rushing touchdown, passing Cam Newton for the most by a quarterback in NFL history. Prater's extra point made it 23-7 with 14 minutes and 8 seconds remaining. A late field goal closed it out 26-7. Allen now needs 4 more wins to become the 4th starting quarterback in NFL history to reach 95 combined regular season and playoff victories in his first 8 seasons. The Bills are 5-1 against Pittsburgh since 2019, though still 4-10 all-time in games played in Pittsburgh. Allen and Drew Brees are now the only players in league history with at least 30 offensive touchdowns in 6 straight seasons. Allen is also 27-9 as a starter following a loss. Stats can be found here at the NFL Recap, Bills at Steelers Week 13, and more coverage under the Buffalo Bills game recap. These are some key stats that are summed up. James Cook, 7th 100-yard rushing game of the season. Christian Benford, one TD return and one interception in his 50th game. And Allen also has some records, 76th rushing TD, most ever by an NFL quarterback. He needs 4 more wins to reach 95 in 8 seasons. And one of only 2 NFL players with Drew Brees to record 30-plus TDs in 6 consecutive seasons. The next article is entitled, The Love Machine, Vending Machine Making the Rounds of Western New York in Support of Local Nonprofits, by Queen Eyes. An innovative donation-based vending machine is currently making the rounds in Buffalo. Called the Love Machine, this unique contraption was dreamt up by restaurateur Mara Crawford, who is one of the driving catalysts, along with Casey's family, behind the Connor J. Casey Foundation's Feed the Need initiative. The foundation was established in memory of Connor J. Casey, the founding chef of Coco Bar and Bistro, who sadly passed away from glioblastoma in June 2022 at age 34. This latest effort to carry forth Casey's selfless desire to share good food, compassion, and community with his neighbors is being met with great fanfare. The Love Machine is Feed the Need's newest initiative designed to make charitable giving easy, engaging, and accessible. The Love Machine operates like a traditional snack vending machine, stated Mara Crawford, program director of Feed the Need. Instead of chips or candy, it dispenses donation tiles, each representing one of 24 Western New York nonprofits. Using the touchscreen, donors can select one or multiple tiles and complete their purchase with a credit card or Apple Pay. Each nonprofit sets the donation amount of their own tile based on their specific needs. We decided to launch the Love Machine at this time of year as it provides shoppers with great options for gifts or stocking stuffers that also help our community. The Love Machine can be found at the Lexington Co-op in the Elmwood Village today for Giving Tuesday, December 2nd. From there, it will travel throughout Western New York, including Kleinhans Music Hall during the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra's Holiday Pops Concert Series, which is December 18th through the 21st. Also in the village of Ellicottville, they will host the machine during Christmas week, December 23rd through December 31st. A continually updated schedule is available on the Feed the Need 716 Instagram page. We have the ability to add 6 more nonprofit organizations that feed and serve our community to the Love Machine, stated Foundation Board member Carly Story. We also welcome businesses, organizations, and venues interested in hosting this unique vending fundraiser. Best of all, 100% of every tile purchased goes directly to the nonprofit selected. No hidden costs, no administrative fees. The Love Machine currently features 24 Western New York nonprofits with 6 additional slots still available. The custom-built vending machine allows donors to select one or multiple nonprofit organizations and directly support their missions. Each nonprofit sets the donation amount of their individual tile based on their specific needs. Anyone interested in becoming part of this new approach to street philanthropy can email mara@connorjcaseyfoundation.com. Participating nonprofits include The Big Table, Bob McCarthy Foundation in Ellicottsville, Buffalo Go Green, Buffalo Resilience, Candace's Mobile Pantry, Compass House, Connor J. Long Foundation, Every Bottom Covered, Family Promise, Food for Paws, Friends of Night People, Friendship Food Pantry, that's in Blaisdell, Grassroots Gardens, Home Beneath Our Feet, Interfaith Caregivers in Olean, Jericho Road, Justice for Migrant Families in Batavia, Kevin Guesthouse, Massachusetts Avenue Project, Providence Farm Collective in Orchard Park, Provision 139, Springville Food Pantry, Stitch Buffalo, and Urban League Multi-Services. Next, we have De Uville revises student housing proposal. De Uville University has made changes to its proposed student housing complex it seeks to build at 443 West Avenue. The proposed 5-story building would be constructed by Uniland Development and designed by ELV 8 Architecture. The Planning Board will review the new plans on Monday. Changes were made based on city and neighbor input, and that includes York Street setback, removed a row of one-bedroom units from the York-facing leg of the building, providing a 21-foot setback from adjacent residential properties and addressing concerns about a large continuous wall near backyards. Plymouth frontage activation, reconfigured parking to introduce a small park along Plymouth, responding to neighbors' requests for greater public space and engagement of this street footage. Reduced surface parking and added green space, decrease the amount of surface parking on site to create additional green areas and improve the overall character of the site. Building expansion toward Plymouth extended the building footprint to the new proposed green space on Plymouth, adding 30 units and bringing the total unit count to 218. This also strengthens street level activation. Improved neighbor DYU relations began addressing prior neighborhood concerns, including fence repairs, tree removals, and cleanup of the pocket park at York and West as a first step toward more consistent communications between DYU and the community. The new residents will offer primarily individual apartment-style units, each featuring a full kitchen and in-unit laundry. Pending approval, the project is expected to break ground in January 26 and be completed by July 2027. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Rising on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Next, we have initial findings from Phase 1 of the Buffalo Police Department Foot Patrol Integration Unit Public Survey. Initial report reflects strong community support for neighborhood-based policing and outlines key resident priorities. For years, communities around the city have been asking the city to provide walking the beat police patrols. Back in June, Acting Mayor Chris Scallon announced a citywide launch of Buffalo Police Department's Foot Patrol Integration Unit, known as the FPIU. This initiative focuses on engaging citizens and building trust through neighborhood and data-driven policy. Now, the data results from the Phase 1 of the initiative, developed in partnership with Professors Jacob Nysiel and Ryan Muldoon from the University at Buffalo and Professor Jake Monahan from the University of Southern California, have been collected. And the data was garnered from over 3,000 responses recorded, which pertained to perceptions of safety, top neighborhood concerns, and how the presence of foot patrol officers has influenced their sense of trust in law enforcement. Mayor Scallon and the Buffalo Police Department underscored that traffic and speeding was among most frequently cited concerns, appearing in nearly one out of every five responses. Earlier this year, right here outside the Broadway Market, we launched the Foot Patrol Integration Unit with one simple goal: strengthen the connection between officers and the people they serve, said Scanlon. These initial findings give us a clearer picture of what matters most to people in every neighborhood, whether it's traffic issues, car thefts, or problem houses, and help us make data-driven decisions about where to focus our efforts. This is how we bridge the gap between policymakers and policy takers, by ensuring that the feedback from our residents directly informs how we shape public safety policy and community priorities. There were some key findings. 3,055 total resident responses citywide show strong engagement across all police districts. Residents identified car thefts and break-ins, traffic speeding, problem houses, ATV dirt bikes, and gun violence as the top five concerns across the city. Nearly two-thirds of responses reflected positive or neutral attitudes toward the FPIU and its approach to community policing. Traffic and speeding emerged as the most common theme citywide, appearing in nearly one out of every five responses. These results validate what many of our officers hear on the ground every day. Residents want to see us out walking, talking, and working alongside them to solve problems, said Buffalo Police Deputy Commissioner Patrick Overdoff. This feedback helps us better align our work with community priorities and strengthens our ability to respond to the quality of life concerns. The Buffalo Police Department will use these findings to determine best practices and policies moving forward. And next, we have news from Allentown. Construction Watch, Hope on Main Shelter. The Hope on Main Family Homeless Shelter is taking shape on the west side of Main Street, north of Allen Street. When complete, the shelter will provide 32 units and 80 beds of emergency housing. The $20 million project, developed by the Salvation Army of Buffalo, is the first in the Salvation Army's plan to transform its Main Street campus. The new shelter will replace the Salvation Army's existing 77-bed shelter located north of the site, so no residents will be displaced during construction. And the first floor of the new building will have activity areas, a learning lab, administrative offices, and a laundry facility. The shelter is part of the Salvation Army's larger three-phase Hope on Main project. The construction of 143 one- and two-bedroom permanent affordable housing apartments for families and 17 three-bedroom townhouses for larger families in need on North Pearl. The construction of the East Buffalo Salvation Army Church and Community Center, which will be home to a chapel, offices, an after-school program, summer camps, a youth mentoring program, gymnasium fitness center, client choice food pantry, a kitchen, dining areas, and a music program, and the establishment of an operations endowment to ensure the stability of the Hope on Main project for years to come. And next, under events and festivals, the Buffalo Mass Mob welcomes you to the church that welcomes you to Amherst. Walking up to St. Benedict's Church in Eggertsville, I could sense something special about it, but wasn't sure just what. It was something unusual, something unique, but what was it exactly? It wasn't the architecture. In fact, the last Mass Mob at St. Bernadette's in Kaisertown was held in a church designed by the same architect, built about the same time using similar stone. But not wanting to be late for Mass, I'd have to figure it out later. Yet even after Mass, as I linger to take photos of the exterior, the church grounds, the school next door, the sanctuary, and even the banded patterns in the sandstone, I still didn't get it. It wasn't until I was walking away to head back into the city and turned for one final photo that it hit me like a ton of sandstone. The church faces neither Main Street nor Eggert Road, but the intersection. It doesn't look at the building across Main Street or at the building across Eggert Road. Instead, it looks at you. The church faces you, who are coming into its town and its parish, whether from the south or the west. It welcomes you. It's low-key and simple, yet profound. I know no other traditionally designed Catholic church that is oriented this way. It's as if the parishioners who built the church in the 1950s pivoted thousands of tons of masonry just to make sure that as you approach, you and the church will see each other. Not just see each other, but visually engage. You can't hurry past with just a glance. But it was more than just the building. I felt the same low-key welcome in visiting Mass. I wasn't there long before falling into a conversation with one of the ushers about the church and the stained glass windows and the usher's longtime involvement at the parish. After Mass, I found myself with a group of parishioners whose experience with the parish also went back to childhood. That kind of generational involvement is common in city churches, but it was good to be reminded it exists in suburban churches as well. One of the parishioners showed me the stained glass windows and told me that a late deacon of the church used to give a stained glass tour that was better attended than Mass. One of the windows features dice, which figure in the crucifixion story. Another told me how the church once had nearly a dozen masses every weekend, including a high mass in Latin, with everyone packed. And of course, there was the obligatory story of getting whacked by the nuns in the church's school. Len Swit, who took the photos used on the church's website, told me of growing up just steps away from the church and being able to walk to UB South Campus to the South Campus for college. I was especially impressed to learn that the church is not only welcoming to those approaching it from the street, but those coming in the doors, but to immigrants and refugees as well. The church has been involved with settling two families in partnership with another church. The church is also raising funds for an extraordinary project to create and install the first reproduction anywhere of the sculpture recently unveiled at the Vatican by Timmy Schmaltz, best known for his homeless Jesus sculptures like the one installed on Buffalo's Sheldon Square in 2015. Today, the town and the parish and the parishioners are considerably more prosperous than in those early years, which may cause you to wonder why the Buffalo Mass Mob would be paying a visit. After all, wasn't the Mass Mob formed largely to give a boost to often overlooked, primarily urban churches? Indeed, but as I pointed out in other recent Mass Mob posts, with the overall decline in Catholicism that has resulted in and then been furthered by closing and mergers of parishes and churches and schools, there are fewer and fewer Catholic parishes that couldn't use a boost. If you would like more information about this article, please contact Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Rising. Your reader has been Susan, and thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to another broadcast day on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, a private not-for-profit organization. Radio Reading volunteers broadcast daily readings of newspapers, magazines, and books to area blind and handicapped persons who are provided reading radios. Broadcast on the subcarrier signal of WNETFM Radio Buffalo, and that's provided without charge by the Western New York Public Broadcasting Association. Our broadcast studios are at 1189 Harlem Road in Cheektowaga between William and Clinton Streets. As always, please feel free to contact us with your comments, suggestions, any questions you may have, and please stay with us. Our Rain the Buffalo News is coming up next.